Hello guys, welcome to the 25th of March edition of the NFL Sunday Supplement. With me today, we've got Chappers.
Hi there guys.
And Arnie.
Hey guys.
So, obviously being big week, free agency still on the thoroughly working its way along. Let's start with the biggest news though. Peyton Manning has finally made his decision.
Yeah, not quite the dramatic style LeBron James did it in the NBA, but still, the Denver Broncos, who really saw that one coming?
I think with the whole like him and John Elway thing, I think a lot of people assumed that he would go to the Broncos, but I think the biggest thing that everyone thought team he would go to would be the Titans, after the last week of it, once the Dolphins and the Cardinals got kicked out of the contention anyway.
I think with the especially when the politicians came in and offered him no tax on, they'll build a home anywhere
Well, he was going to get a lifetime contract. He was going to get part ownership of this.
Well, they said that.
Yeah,
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's like I said last week on a podcast. I didn't think the Broncos were the best place to go win a Super Bowl immediately.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I like some of the pieces they have. Good pass rush there, I suppose. That might be one of the big things. They figure they can do the whole getting a lead and just, you know, bringing Dumaville and Von Miller like they did with Mathis and Freeney in Indianapolis. But I don't know if do they have any of the sort of receivers that you would trust around Peyton Manning? Because Demaryius Thomas did some last year, but he's still not the most experienced player. Not sure he's going to be the right sort of route runner at this stage in his career that like a Reggie Wayne or a Marvin Harrison.
The thing is, as we know, Peyton Manning can work with nothing.
Yeah, he's always worked with these receivers for a long time. You've got to think like the starters, they've never really plugged anyone straight into the starting lineup.
Also as well, there's still no word on Dallas Clark.
I can't see him signing him. They signed Tammy, who's a lot younger and a lot cheaper. I don't think you need to bring in both. I think there may be injury concerns with Clark as well, because I haven't really heard much about any interest in him from anybody. And there's a lot of teams that could do with a receiving tight end right now, let's face it. So that may be it. But I don't know. I mean, as a decision, I just thought like the Titans with him just look a lot better on paper to me.
It made a lot more sense. I mean, if you look at it, we've got the receivers. We know that we've got the receivers. And like with Kenny Britt, obviously he's a night out away from suspension, but
yeah,
Washington had stepped up a lot last year. Peyton Manning would have made that work.
Niners, how good would the Niners have been with him? And look
great
at the other moves they've made. They could have been Super Bowl favourites if they'd made that move
easily. Yeah,
because Alex Smith played well last year, but he's nowhere near the level Peyton Manning is, and they've got a fairly loaded offense now with some of the signings they've made.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have Crabtree, Manning, Vernon Davis. Who else have they brought in? I'm sure there's
Moss,
Randy Moss.
Yeah, of course Randy Moss as well. Frank Gore. That would have been a rock. They've got quite a good O-line as well there. So, and you know, the best D in the league. I know he didn't want to be in the NFC, but
actually Frank Gore in the backfield.
And a weak division, which, alright, he does have that in the AFC West. But the AFC West, I mean, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Peyton Manning led Niners, you may as well just give them the division title.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Give Peyton Manning a 16 game break.
You got to give, I figure, Elway and Fox a lot of credit for actually managing to coerce him in, because I don't think it's the best situation.
Do you think that was actually what drove him in? Because all the other teams that seemed to be led from the owners, say like with Miami, the Cards, especially with the Titans as well, with the Broncos, it seemed it was really the coaches that made the push for it as well.
It was. I think I can agree with you on that. I think the Broncos and possibly the Cardinals, because they were pretty much in it from the beginning. I think those were the two where it was a more unified sort of push. Obviously, I think, well, we know in Tennessee that it was an owner's decision.
What I've read with the whole Tennessee thing, a lot of the players disagreed with the situation because they're happy to build and just keep going with either Jake Locker and Hasselbeck. So, you know,
the team loved Hasselbeck last year.
Yeah, we did.
What I've heard, and I know he won you over. So.
Oh, he did. Within a year, he won me over.
Well, that's because you finally got to see competent quarterback play.
That was nice.
Like an actual quarterback, not Vince Young.
Yeah,
this is quite something to see when you've not witnessed it before from your team. But I just think, you know, Denver have got to be totally happy with this. It definitely makes them the favourites in that division. So,
and they've got a good D as well. So
yeah, the D will be good. It will be much better as well. You figure they won't have to, you know, lock teams down like they had to last year to enable Tebow to pull off those fourth quarter heroics.
Yeah.
Now they'll be able to do a lot more because they'll, you know, they'll be able to have the confidence that, you know, the offense will be consistent.
Yeah.
At least to some degree. I mean, it doesn't really shake things up all that much. Like, there were other moves he could have made that I thought would have been, like, if he went to Tennessee, that would have been a much tougher division. It would have been a flat out shootout between them and the Texans, because, you know, I don't see the Jags or
the Colts
doing anything next year, so they should have a fairly easy route to play. I mean, I figure, you know, the Raiders look like they've gone backwards. They don't have many draft picks. They've had to cut a few players. They have major salary cap problems. I mean, they're not in a good position right now. And we don't know how Carson Palmer's going to play next year.
Exactly, yeah.
He was very, very hit and miss. The Chargers, well, they're under North Turner, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's just a crazy situation. And they're not as talented as they have been the last few years. And then you've got the Chiefs. Actually, the Chiefs, though, I like what they've done this off-season. While I'm not a big fan of Matt Cassel, I think adding Hillis is a great move, especially considering what they gave up, and getting the right tackle in Eric Winston. You know, that was an awesome signing. I mean, you're getting an all-pro player to replace, you know, the biggest weakness on your offensive line.
Yeah, I'm still smarting over the Winston move. I know Miami talked to him as well. He also turned down for quite a few teams.
Yeah,
that was a strange one. Ended up at Kansas, to be honest, but.
It's a great pickup on their part. So they might be quite good next year. And they kept Dwayne Bowe, which they absolutely had to do, especially if Moiarki comes back and plays like he did as a rookie. So they could be quite a productive team. But, I mean, the Niners is left in an interesting position because, you know, they've had to re-sign Alex Smith, and they've actually given him a bigger contract now than he was originally. Like, they had the offer before, of course. They offered him this contract like a few months back.
Yeah.
And now they've put another like $9 million on top, but there's no guaranteed money in the deal, if I remember reading that right.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a strange one.
The thing is, the biggest thing what it's done to teams is, it's like for the Titans, for example, we had, I think, $30 million in the salary cap. It's made us held back on free agency.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we managed to pick up Steve Hutchinson, and we picked up.
You've got Kamarion Wimbley now.
Yeah. But we could have, you know, maybe try to go in for the bidding of Mario Williams or someone else, you know. But
yeah,
because of obviously going for Peyton Manning.
Well, by the time Manning
had
made the decision, I suppose you had the two more reliable pass rushers on the market were Mario Williams, who you probably wouldn't have had a chance with because, you know, he went to Buffalo first and they wouldn't let him leave until he signed a contract from, you know, that appears how
it
went.
It's more the fact of we would have had a chance to sign.
Well, you could have went for John Abraham.
Yeah.
He went back to Atlanta, I believe. Yeah, he did. So, I mean, you've had a shot at him. He's a legit pass rusher, even if it's only for a couple of years. At least it would have gave you something. I mean, I think Wimbley's quite a shrewd signing, but he's never played brilliantly as a defensive end, so we'll see how that goes for him. But they need pass rush bad.
Yeah.
The guard situation should be a lot better, though.
Well, yeah, we've moved Amano back to guard. We're looking for a centre, and obviously we've got Hutchinson.
Yeah, Hutchinson alongside Michael Russo. Should be some solid pass protection, which wasn't really a problem last year, but it's a definite improvement, even if he is on the downside of his career. It was a shrewd pickup. I mean, how do you guys really think the Broncos will fare with Manning?
I think they'll win their division.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
I wouldn't sleep on the Chiefs, because now I think about it, I think they've got a chance to be a decent side next year.
I think the Peyton Manning effect will certainly work its magic, but in the playoffs, and I still think they're quite a way away from actually competing for the Super Bowl.
I don't think they get to the Super Bowl.
Well, I look at some of the other, I suppose, premier teams in the AFC, and I cannot put the Broncos from a personnel level on the same level as, like, the Texans have lost a fair bit, but they still look very good on paper. Steelers,
especially.
Yeah, the Steelers, the Ravens, they're all still on another level to the Broncos, even with Peyton. And the Pats,
Bengals,
of course, as well.
Well, they're getting up there now.
Yeah, they're my dark horse for the next decade, but I have faith in Paul Brown to ruin what I see as a very good situation they're in.
He
so
ruin things.
We don't know how that's going to go. I say it with belief, if they do it right, it will work, but I have no belief that it's going to definitely work.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. I mean, they just don't spend money. I think Paul Brown likes to be like Scrooge McDuck and just, you know, bathe in his big tub of vat of coins. Like, I could spend this on my team and make more money, but I think he just likes swimming in money. But it's just one of these things. So, I don't know, what, do we have anything else to really say on this? I mean, I know you were annoyed at Peyton for how long the decision took.
It did.
He apologised.
Oh, big whoop. No, it's... Peyton Manning, he frustrated me, especially from the Dolphins front as well. He didn't want to come visit us at all. We had to go visit him, and even then it was only Joe Philbin that was allowed to go talk to him for 6 odd hours, so Stephen Ross didn't really get a chance to go in there with his checkbook, neither did Jeff Ireland.
Don't blame Pat. Would you have wanted to speak to Stephen Ross?
To be honest,
Manning is a football man. Stephen Ross is not a football man.
The thing is, Stephen Ross's heart's in the right place, but unfortunately his head isn't.
It's kind of like giving a teenage child control of a franchise.
You think he's made us look quite bad as well, with the amount of what he's gone for in the past. He went for Harbaugh, failed with that, went for Fisher, failed with that, gone for Manning and failed. And then he spoke to the likes of Alex Smith afterwards. Matt Flynn, I'm still fairly convinced that we didn't really want Flynn.
If we wanted him, Philbin
could have bought him in. Alex Smith, he used
you
us
hear
as
Stephen
leverage.
Ross actually apparently had a conversation with a fan this week.
Yeah,
a disillusioned fan actually said, you know, if we really wanted Matt Flynn, we would have made that push.
Yeah, and he also said that we were going to cut Brandon Marshall as well, regardless. I'm actually over that Brandon Marshall
You're over
thing
Brandon
now.
Brandon Marshall now.
I want other Miami fans to get over it now, because I'm sick to death of everyone saying how mediocre our offense looks now. Come on, the guy was inconsistent.
Yeah, he's terrible hands.
Also, he's not
games
also,
without.
Yeah, we can win games without him. The thing is as well, even if we'd have kept him, how many games would he have missed this year through suspension alone?
I'd figure it's going to be at least 6.
I've heard 8 as a possibility.
I think 8 is the most likely. I've heard that as well, and it probably will be.
Yeah, I mean
Brian, Goodell's fairly consistent with his punishments.
No, rightly so. I mean, even Brian Urlacher, the first thing he commented on Brandon Marshall arriving at Chicago is, I fear suspension, because it's going to happen.
Yeah. That is going to be the case. I mean, I don't know. I feel Manning did kind of it the right way, because, you know, he has to check these things out, especially as he said in his press conference, he doesn't know any other team other than Indy. You know, he didn't work out for any other teams before that draft.
No,
he's never really been involved with another team in any capacity whatsoever. It's been Indy. So I don't blame for taking the time with it. I thought, you know, he maybe should have eliminated the teams a little quicker, because I thought it was pretty clear that he had no interest in Miami fairly early on. I mean, I thought he'd consider it, but I thought once the Marshall move was made and you didn't pick up those guys that, like, it was suggested to, you know, make him more comfortable, you know, the Reggie Waynes, the Jeff Saturdays, then...
Well, those guys haven't really followed him anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Reggie... The thing that surprised me with Reggie wasn't so much that he went back to Indy, it was how quickly he re-signed with them. Because it was, what, second, third day of free agency?
Well, yeah,
he didn't want to wait around for Manning.
No, a lot of the talk was he said that he'd be more than happy to sign with Miami if Peyton Manning was to come there. But
that
again, yeah, totally see it turn around.
No, particularly on the books. I mean, I know Miami fans are generally just disgruntled with this whole off-season. I mean, they seem to be the most vocal...
But we're still not going to be as bad as Jets or Philly fans, but still
they've not been particularly bad. I think the Philly fans, I mean, actually I just want to mention one thing with Philly. They made a brilliant trade this week. Did you guys see they got D'Amico Ryans
for
the Texans, and for very little?
I remember JJ Watt was who else was on the on Total Access. Remember they were there when they heard of the trade, and they were both quite honest about their opinion on that trade.
They were not happy.
No, they weren't happy. No,
he was he was considered the leader of that D, very respected in the locker room. So it's more that the fact they got so little for him is really surprising. I mean, I know the Texans need some cap room, and he's probably not as well suited to the new scheme as he was the 4-3, but. I'm sure they could have tried to coax a little bit more out of the Eagles. Now, I know Andy Reid is very, very good at his trades. I mean, he's very shrewd, but
yeah, and also,
he gave
up
next to nothing.
Yeah, he's
for
good. He's good
top quality backer.
Yeah, and he's good at dumping bad quarterbacks on teams as well, convincing them that they're good to pick up. So
yeah,
yeah.
When you think about like the amount of actual draft picks they've managed to coax out of teams to for Kevin Cobb and Donovan McNabb, it's really impressive stuff. It probably is one of the large reasons why he's got his job. Although he's always done a good job in Philly. Last year was a strange one.
I blame Ventura.
Well, this year they can all blame DeSean Jackson.
Exactly.
I suppose.
They just need to keep their mouth shut.
I can't understand why you would do that. You know, there was all that stuff last year when Vince Young called the Dream Team. So, you know, you finally get paid by the team and you go, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to guarantee we win a Super Bowl, because, you know, that didn't make Rex Ryan look stupid for the last couple of years.
And then there's that.
Yeah. Sean Jackson's never appeared to be the brightest fellow in the league, so.
Yeah.
That's receivers for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of them are lunatics. I mean, well, anyway, we've kind of gone off topic, aren't we? There doesn't really seem as much to say about Peyton as I thought there would be.
No,
I mean, the Broncos are going to be totally... At least I won't hate watching that offense now.
Oh, no, is that on?
It was painful.
From that, do you reckon we should move on to the man who was replaced by Peyton Manning, Tim Tebow?
Dear. Yeah.
I can't wait to see this.
It's a media marriage made in heaven.
It's like Arnie's dream combination.
Can
though.
God... save Mark Sanchez? That is the question I want to know.
Well, word is, you know, they do have Tony Sperano there. They're apparently going to have a wildcat package for Tebow to run. So.
Hypocrites.
Tony Soprano.
Sperano, man.
Sorry. I watch a lot of The Sopranos, sorry.
All I can think of is hypocrite.
Yeah,
really.
Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez put into one.
even then, you've still got a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
So the amount of bitching that Rex Ryan said when we beat the Jets with the Wildcat, now they're gonna, it looks like they're gonna be using it for Tim
Tebow.
They've
used it the last couple of years, actually. They used it with Brad Smith before. They did run a few plays last year. I don't remember who they were using though to try and make it work. But they've tried it before. I mean, I suppose from a theory perspective, you know, that whole ground and pound thing, Tebow suits that mentality perfectly. It's just.
Yeah.
I don't, considering like the media mess that was New York at the end of last year, I'm not sure bringing attention back to your franchise again by doing this is the right move. Now, I get, you know, Tebow's going to be a great teammate there and all that sort of stuff. He probably won't cause any kind of problems. He's not going to, you know, start arguments with Sanchez in the locker room or any madness like that.
No.
But do you really want to put your franchise in the spotlight again? Because this is not going to die down. It's all going to be going. They're going to say Sanchez is a starter, and everyone knows that, but it's not going to stop the media from bleating on about it the second, you know, Sanchez has that first bad game of the season. And it won't take long. It will happen.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a strange series of events that have come up. I mean, the season ended, they said, yep, yeah, Mark's our guy. Peyton Manning became
available.
Extension,
which they really didn't have to do.
Well, no, they gave an extension. Peyton Manning became available. They absolutely failed to distance themselves from that. And then they go ahead and bring Tim Tebow in. The media are going to have an absolute field day with it.
Then have you seen Michael Lombardi's criticism of Sanchez?
No,
on NFL.com this week.
Oh,
he's not
vocal enough.
Just showing no anger about any of this. Yeah, you know, he's just been quiet pretty much the whole off season. The only thing I've heard from him really was, you know, the when he got that extension was, yeah, this shows I'm the leader of the offense, which doesn't really prove that. It shows you're the starter.
I think he's basically holding back and letting his teammates speak for him, like he usually does.
He's never appeared to be the most vocal. I don't think you need to have a rah-rah quarterback, to be honest. I mean, look at Eli.
Well, no, you don't have to. But
but I do get it as a valid criticism. I mean, because he's just under siege from all directions, and he has been for most of his career in New York, and it's just. Said it is eerily similar, actually, to the way Eli's career began in New York, because Eli was a very similar kind of player, just horribly erratic, constantly making bad decisions, having the odd game where you just wondered, is he ever going to get this? And yeah, Sanchez has thus far actually kind of mirrored that.
Yeah, but I'd the way they've helped him out. Here's a 3-year deal, but oh, by the way, we're
going to
give
a better team than Eli did this first few years in the league.
As your backup, we're going to give you the most popular sportsman in the whole of America.
True, you know? It's guaranteed jersey sales, I suppose. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of pressure on Tebow if he doesn't start the season well, because obviously they're going to be playing catch up to the Patriots for most of the season. So there's going to be, the second it starts to go down the tubes, I mean, it puts the front office, they're going to be under massive pressure to replace Sanchez if need be, and if they have to, then they look ridiculous for giving him that deal.
Do you think part of it's also a PR stunt? Because obviously there was a lot of coverage last year about how bad the locker room was, the atmosphere there. Bringing someone like Tim Tebow in to sort of calm that down a little, shed a little bit of light on him.
Even then, him coming in, you had, before it was even happened, you had Antonio Cromartie being like, no, I don't want Tebow, he's not very good. And then as soon as it happened, he was like, yeah, actually, Tebow's a winner. So already we're seeing, that kind of divisiveness. I mean, it could be a problem if Sanchez, isn't this vocal guy and he doesn't have that leadership as well. Tebow is that kind of guy. And if the players start rallying behind Tebow, then before he's even on the, if he's not even on the field often, then they're going to have major problems again. It's going to be same old, same old. It's a good move. I think from a football perspective, it makes sense. You need to have something there behind Sanchez. I'm not sure as a quarterback Tebow's away, but I'm sure that's the kind of offense that could work with Tebow, because if they can get a right tackle, they can get back to having that ground and pound sort of run game. Mangold will be fully healthy this year. They probably could do with running back. Sean Green's not really impressed me in his time in the league, but I could see him suited to that kind of offense. Well, fitting into what they've got there from a personnel perspective. There's just so many ways this could go wrong. I would just be paranoid if I were a Jets fan about that.
Yeah.
See, if I was Tebow, I'd have picked the safety blanket and gone back to Jacksonville.
He didn't get a choice. It's a trade.
No, I heard he was given the choice.
I heard it. I don't believe it for a second. But I did hear it. But I'd have thought, I mean, if he was given the choice,
let's assume he was given the choice.
If he's given the choice, then going to New York makes no sense. If he goes to Jacksonville, he's a hero, sells loads of tickets, yada yada yada. But who's he got in front of him? Blaine Gabbert showed nothing last year. Nothing. And you've got Mojo behind you. Can you imagine running some kind of like weird Wildcat Tebow type offense with Mojo there? I mean, the amount of carries Maurice Jones-Drew would get with Tebow there at quarterback would be incredible.
Oh yeah, it'd be a fantasy machine for
him. A guaranteed first overall pick in like 99% of fantasy drafts would be Mojo.
I think we've already agreed that's how we're going to go this year with our fantasy draft as well.
Yeah,
Mojo number one.
He's definitely where I'll be looking, because they've still got very little. I mean, well, look at the competition. It's not even just that. It's Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert. Now, considering Sanchez did just get that contract extension, Jacksonville is definitely the easier place for him to start, playing. I mean, he could get the starter's job in all likelihood, especially if the owner really wants that to be the case.
That'd have been especially embarrassing for Chad Henne, because I remember when Henne was playing for us just before Tebow was drafted, came out and said that he didn't rate Tebow as a passer and said he'll never make it as an NFL quarterback. Imagine Tim Tebow. Imagine Tebow turning up awkward at Jacksonville and already taking that job. Man, if I was Tebow, I'd have done it just for that, really.
I had not thought about that angle. Well, I suppose that's enough Tebow. People have heard enough about him in general.
Unless
you got anything else to add.
Good luck to you, really, Tim. I don't rate you as a player, but can't fault your attitude. But please, please, don't turn it on against us.
Yeah, that you've already had one crushing fourth quarter loss at the hands of Tebow. You probably don't need another.
Yeah, exactly.
So I suppose the other big news this week, huge news. Yeah, the punishment for the Saints.
Oh, I know you're particularly happy with that.
Well, I've never liked Sean Payton, as I've said and made very clear in many of the podcasts we've had. So, some people, I get the argument, it's harsh because he's not the guy that implemented it, but you're the head coach. You are the one that is responsible for this going on.
Yeah,
you're the guy with the power to stop it.
It's like you oversee
end
everything.
Of story.
So
you knew about it. You know, he apparently the first time the NFL got in touch with him, like after the year they won the Super Bowl about it, he was like, "Well, prove it," or something along those lines.
Yeah,
that was his retort. And they told the franchise to stop. They clearly haven't stopped. And I didn't expect it to be. I thought it was gonna be half season. I think like most people did, but I get it. And now no team is ever gonna even consider this again. You'd be mad to be a head coach and let this go on under your watch now. As well as that, the two draft picks, as big because they don't have a first rounder this year, and lost a fair few players. I mean,
I think that's the next one, the suspension, I suppose. We've already got the one year for suspension for Sean Payton.
Indefinite suspension for Greg Williams.
Yep.
I don't know if he's ever going to coach in the league again. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, to be honest. And then you've got Joe Vitt, who's the linebackers and assistant head coach. I think his was 6 games. And Mickey Loomis, the GM, is suspended for the first 8.
So they're pretty much running on nothing.
Well, I mean, there were 3 candidates. I know Spagnuolo was one of them, to basically take the interim job. The assistant offensive coordinator, I think he might actually be considered the offensive coordinator, even though, of course, Peyton is. And I don't remember the other person. But, yeah, those are the guys. I expect Spagnuolo to get it simply because he's got experience, even if he didn't exactly have a great time in St. Louis. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, it makes the signing of Breeze imperative because he's unhappy with the situation, being tagged, feels disrespected by the franchise. Of course, all this has gone on.
New Orleans needs some good news.
They need
some sign of hope for
next
year.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys that has come out of this with no sort of taint on his reputation. I haven't seen a single thing criticizing Drew Breeze. So they have to do it, especially because if he holds out, that team is possibly going to fall apart. We all know he's the leader of that team. The defensive, we don't know when the suspensions are going to happen for the D, because it's there's talk of being taken to court. And the NFLPA are doing their own internal investigation, so who knows how long that's going to take to actually resolve.
With the suspensions, you imagine they'd need to do them sooner rather than later, leading up to the draft, and also the Saints having to fill the roster.
You think
as well.
So, but I don't think Goodell is thinking we need to make this easier on the Saints, so we better get a move on.
Really, but with they still need to let them be slightly more competitive. They need to let them be competitive next year. They can't just field garbage next year.
Well,
that would be totally unfair just to the fans, at least.
Yeah, especially because they're not even going to have their GM to make a lot of negotiations.
No.
By the time it rolls around, I think he's suspended from April 1st, which will make the draft really interesting. No GM input, they're going to have to really get their draft plans in order before April 1st.
Yeah. Tell you what my favourite bit of draft rumour was regarding the Saints in this year, that the Dolphins would trade the first from this year, next year, and the seconds from this year and next year for Drew Brees. That was one of my favourite rumours.
Nah, that's not a rumour. That's dreaming is what that is, right?
It is. I'd be the happiest Dolphins fan on earth if that. If that
don't
was
get
to
me wrong.
I think
if Drew Brees really wanted to, he could probably argue his way out of New Orleans in this current situation.
He could, but do you think the Saints would be tempted to take it though with the lack of draft picks?
Oh no. Well, they'd have no choice if he just goes, I'm not going to play for you this season. You've irritated me. I'm not signing the tender. And unless they can get him to that long term deal, what other choice would they have? He's getting up there in age. And he's what, 34, 35?
Yeah, I know. Peyton's 36 and he's got a 5-year deal, so he'll just point at that.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. And he got a lot more money than, well, the Broncos had the room. I suppose it's probably, actually, we didn't mention it, probably one of the reasons he did pick the Broncos. He got big, a lot of wedge.
Mm-hmm.
90 mil, wasn't it, over the 5 years? So
yeah, 95 mil.
Yeah, so he's pretty much back to being paid like he's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it, at the punishment that was handed down. Not speaking as a Bucks fan here, speaking from a, it was fairly similar to what I assumed they were going to do. I thought they'd lose the first round the next year on top of the current draft picks.
Yeah.
Knew they'd be fined. Didn't see the whole year for Peyton, but I get it. So, I have no problem with it, and it just guarantees this will not happen again, because, you know, I made my outrage pretty clear a couple of weeks ago when we first discussed this. It's disgraceful what they've done. It has no place in the game whatsoever. I hate when players get injured. I hate when opposing players get injured. It annoys me. I don't like watching teams missing their best players. I didn't get to watch Kyle Williams last year for the Bills after his awesome season the year before. Those are the kind of things that just annoy me, and the thought of, you know, they happen, fine, you deal with it, but, you know, there is no room in the game for, you know, attempting to injure people.
Well, there's nothing wrong with playing hard, but there's...
Oh, I'm all for it. I love the hitting.
There's playing hard, and then there's going out with the actual intent of just making sure someone walks off, gets carried off that field.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it's probably... Like, I remember there were the two Warren Sapp incidents, like, way back when he injured Kurt Warner.
That amazing block.
The pick's going back and Warner's just jogging and Sapp just belts him as a block. You don't have to do it, but, you know, it's within the rules of the game, and he's not doing it with the intent of injuring him. He's a defensive player with a defensive mentality. He just wanted to belt the quarterback because that's what you do. Similar with that, like Chad Clifton with the Packers when he broke his leg. So that's okay. I can understand why it's frowned upon by some, but if it's within the laws of the game, fine. But this is such a moral minefield as well. I mean, paying people, it's illegal as well in the eyes of the actual law.
Yeah,
it's obviously illegal. So I don't know. I was shocked that, you know, the team would have operated for that long, especially when the NFL, you know, had evidence on them and told them, you know, if you do this again, we're going to bring the hammer down. And they just carry on for two more years.
Interesting thing.
You deserve players, the punishment for stupidity.
The thing is, though, players that have been injured by Saints players to do this bounty gate, I know they attempted to sue some of the Saints players, but can they also now sue the NFL because they knew about this all that time, but they just really didn't act on it until now?
Well, the NFL can't do anything about it until it's got sufficient proof. Like, apparently, after the first time they caught them doing it, you know, they didn't quite have sufficient evidence. I mean, now they've got 3 years' worth. Yeah, I can get that, I suppose. I don't know how it would work. I'm not law savvy enough.
No, fair enough.
But I mean, they've definitely got, I'd imagine, some kind of case against the players. Maybe not suing the league. I think suing the league is a bit of an unfair thing to do. Maybe sue the Saints organization. That's fair. They're the ones that did it.
No, players. Yeah,
sue Greg Williams.
Yeah, it's not just that. Every team that plays them next year are going to go hard on them.
Yep.
Really hard. Yeah. It's going to be hell for Saints players, especially Drew Brees. It's probably why he doesn't want to sign.
That's why it's taking so long. Personal safety.
It's like, damn it, I lost Carl Nix. I need better protection now.
Yeah. It's like that. They had bounties last year on players like Cam Newton as well, which is just terrible. Think, you know, a rookie guy having an awesome year, and the Saints could have, like, when they ended his career, or, you know, lessened it as a runner if he suffered a bad leg injury like McNabb did. So I remember that, like, Josh Freeman came out and said he knew they were a dirty team, and the Buccaneers had been discussing it in meetings, playing them for the last couple of years, because there was a filthy hit. I don't know if it was last season or the year before, and he mentioned this hit where Freeman, you know, scrambles, goes out of bounds, and, you know, everyone in the stadium can see that he's going out of bounds to not take the hit. He goes out of bounds, and Saints, it was either Malcolm Jenkins or Tracy Porter, I'm pretty sure it was Jenkins, like, flung himself at his knees, and Freeman went nuts, because first off, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule that if a guy's going out of bounds, you hit them legally, like, up high, that's fine.
Just to ensure they go out. Just,
yeah, and, you know, most players have no problem with hitting. Hitting is part of the game. Mm. It's one of those things. But you do not fling yourself at a guy's knees, because the only reason you do that when a guy's clearly out of bounds is intent to hurt. And, you know, they actually got flagged twice on that play, the Saints. I've never seen a team get called for unnecessary roughness twice on a play. Because Freeman just, like, got up and just was like, what the hell are you doing to me? And, like, he shoved Freeman away. Got flagged again. it was disgraceful. And they'd done a couple of cheap hits like that. That's why I was really happy that time when Blunt devastated Malcolm Jenkins, got some revenge for Freeman, concussed him, and that was a big part of the Saints losing to the Seahawks.
Nice.
Because he wasn't playing the next week. So, yeah, football gods. That's the reason Saints haven't won a Super Bowl in the last 2 years. Football gods wouldn't let them. That's how it works.
Yeah, and for the fantasy issue.
Yeah, we're not even going to talk about that. That just proves my point that Sean Payton was a douche running up points. I do not believe in running up points in that scenario. As I've said before, you know, why? Why risk players' health? Why? You may meet the Falcons again. They're going to be pissed. Do you really want to play a team with more motivation to beat you than it's a playoff game and you're a divisional rival? Do you also want these guys that, you know, just arrogant toe rags who don't respect what is, you know, an unwritten law of the game, but it's, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think I've trolled you into the ground with the fantasy league enough. I think I'm going to stop from now.
Good. I would appreciate your retirement from trolling me. When you get a trophy, right, when you actually end up buying the trophy, then you can troll me all you want because you have the trophy to point to. You don't even need to troll me. You can just point at the trophy.
So I might get a picture of Darren Sproles and Drew Brees actually carved onto it just for where if you ever win it at any point, then you can always look at that.
No. I insist the winner has the right to buy their own trophy every year. Unless your trophy's awesome, in which case I might make it then. But if it's got Drew Brees on it, no.
No, I'm still trying to find a decent looking trophy.
Fair enough.
It's hard being in England looking for one, but oh well. Anyway, back to the NFL, off the fantasy.
Still bitter. Anyway, so there was any free agency signings you really noticed in the last week?
Been quiet last week.
Well, yeah, it's the second wave of free agency. It's, you know, some of the lesser known guys. I mean, we got I suppose Jeff Saturday.
Oh yeah,
replacing Scott Wells. Yeah, Scott Wells went to the Rams. Obviously, just took the money and ran.
Pretty much.
And
there's Lofton yesterday as well.
Yeah, Lofton's gone to the Saints for 5 years. Been a really slow linebacker market, so it's a good sign for him in that they've really kind of struggled to plug the run. He's definitely going to replace Jonathan Vilma. It's pretty much spells out him. Still not the best coverage guy in the league.
Did Talek go back to the Lions?
Yeah, they gave him a relatively modest deal, all things considering. But as you saw, like, the linebackers weren't coming off. Like, one of the reasons apparently Lofton took so long to actually join the team, because he's a decent player, was just because he overvalued himself. I mean, Aaron Henderson went to the Vikings and he played really well last year on a really fairly poor side.
Yeah.
He was a decent outside backer. There are a lot of teams that need linebacker help, and they re-signed him for $2 million for a year. I mean, that's just great value.
Yeah.
And Tulloch wanted a lot more money, but I guess he just realised, like Lofton, that teams just apparently just, I guess, you know, with the advent of the passing game, teams are a nickel and dime so much that they just don't want to pay linebackers the big money anymore unless they know they're an asset in the passing game, and frankly there's not many of those guys around. So
no, that's the problem. That's the problem Paul Solo found himself in. He tried testing the waters of free agency, found that he wasn't going to get paid the amount he thought he would, and he ended up signing back with us.
Yeah, you're
right. At a lower rate as well.
He's
so
a nose tackle. You know, if you to get the big money at a position like that, it's the same with a linebacker. You have to be able to do everything to be an elite guy all round. Like, I'm trying to think of nose tackles. Like, a guy like Jay Ratliff will get a lot of money because he can play the nose, but he can offer you some pass rush. And he's not the best nose tackle from a run stuffing perspective at all, but he's effective there and he gives you pass rush, gives you flexibility. You look at, like, linebackers, I suppose you'd look at guys like Lance Briggs. Who else would I say you can put on that? Even guys like James Harrison. Lawrence Timmons, one of the better guys, Daryl Smith in Jacksonville. You know, those are the kind of guys that don't really have a weakness. And those are the guys I feel any franchise would feel really good about giving them big money because they know they're going to be on the field all three downs. Now, Curtis Lofton is not going to be in the Saints nickel package. And if he is, they'll regret it. He's not terrible by any means in coverage, but it's definitely not his game. He's a downhill run player. I mean, he's a good sign for him because they were awful against the run last year, the Saints. Awful. I mean, it's amazing how bad they were at hitting people considering they had bounties on them. So that's just my two cents there. But who else has signed this week? There have been a few that have been of interest. You lost your boy Kendall Langford.
Yeah, he went off to the Rams. Not really too bitter about that. I liked Langford, but it was nothing spectacular from our point, really. Especially,
well, I still don't know what you guys are doing. If you're going to the 4-3, then
apparently we're going to play a hybrid 3-4.
They did that anyway last year, so that's not really news.
So I think Jared Odrick's going to have a fully fit season. I can only see him getting better, so he's probably going to take his place.
Yeah, your more dream of more
Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman dance. Yeah, I really want to see.
Do you think
more
he's
going to
adopt that as a permanent thing, though?
Well, I certainly hope he does. I like seeing personal traits like that in the league. I think it'll be brilliant. So,
and it's the Pee Wee Herman dance. It's funny.
Oh yeah, it's cool. It's unexpected seeing someone that big do such a silly dance. But
there's nothing like silly dances in the NFL. They are a thing of beauty. There's been
Jeff Saturday to the Packers.
Yeah,
well,
we mentioned that briefly. Yeah, it's a good pickup for him. I thought they were going to consider, like, once Wells went, Peter Kons from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's
probably
the
top rated center in the draft. I don't know if he's going to. He should be around there. I think maybe the Ravens might be looking at him as well. Those would be the two I figure in that range that might pick him up. But I mean, if Kons is there, they probably could still go for him. Saturday, you know, solid. Pass protecting. He's never been the most physical centre, I suppose, in terms of the run game. But
no,
you know what you're getting. Good pro, solid pass protectors. It's a solid signing. It's sort of thing the Packers do. Just pick up. You very rarely see them make the big splash in free agency. I don't like one argument you hear a lot, and I don't remember if I spoke about this last week. If I did, you can feel free to stop me, Ernie, but I don't remember. Is this idea that the good teams never spend in free agency. I've been hearing it all the time. You know, you never hear the Steelers, the Patriots making big splashes in free agency. I mean, the Patriots have a couple. And it still bugs me. Yeah, they're not active. The Steelers they're not allowed to be active. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
Their cap is a mess. They're cutting players, restructuring them just because they're desperate to get Mike Wallace under contract. So, the Bucks did overpay. People are right to criticise us, especially for the money we gave Eric Wright.
Yeah, that was a real that was a confusing one. That
it was just the money they gave him. Everyone knew Tampa needed a corner. The only thing I can think is maybe he did want to go back to Lions, because I know the Lions were trying to re-sign him, and the Buccaneers were just like, no, we absolutely have decided we need you and we're going to give you a ton. Well, I thought for that kind of money, you know, there were other options out there. I'd have been far happier if they'd tried to, you know. You look like Carlos Rogers had a great season last year in San Fran. Awesome re-signing for them. They could have got him for a fair bit less. It would have been a much, much better option, I feel. But you know, they had to do something. I've never seen secondary play in Tampa as bad as it was last year. Especially with, you know, we don't know what's happening with Tlaib. Rondé's back though.
Yeah, that's a
another
good, that's
year
good
of old man Rondé.
So you mentioned the box, saying that the Saints had bounty for hitting players. I think you guys might have had a bounty not to hit players. I think that might
be it.
Theory.
I'm still insisting it's like my true blood flag theory. I still
flags
stand
mean
by
prizes.
It. Yeah, flags mean prizes. True blood's still convinced. He's hoping for that brand new car by the end of this season. they need to replace it. I mean, they've done all this hard work to make the O-line better, and we still have true blood. The rest of the O-line looks great. But we just have a poor right tackle still.
Carl Nixon now, so.
Yeah, Nix is a very, very good player. He won best in the league. Just gotta hope the money doesn't change. That's my one worry with him and Vincent Jackson, is that they don't just, you know, yeah, we have the money and just loaf for the next couple of years a la Albert Haynesworth. And I have to mention this because I found it hilarious, that Albert Haynesworth meme. Everyone that listens to this, right, check out the Albert Haynesworth with no skin meme, because it's definitely,
it was a thing of utter gold. Just
it's definitely, I have no doubt in my mind that that is the case. Just, you know, under his layer of skin, that is what he looks like.
Yeah,
so do it, you'll thank me for it. Send me, you know, messages and stuff telling me that I was totally right, because I want reaffirmation of the fact I'm totally right on this. Alright, so I can't believe I can't remember. I have another one. This is where my bad joke for the week comes up. You know how the Bengals, right? You know, they have a bit of a thing for signing criminals.
Yep.
You know, you got Chad Simpson. You got Pac-Man Jones, who's re-signed with the team.
Yeah.
I'm sure Cedric Benson's had his legal issues.
Yep.
Well, they thought of a way to solve it this week. They signed the law firm.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yep. That's a good pickup for him. Still never fumbled. He's a solid back. Fits their scheme. So I was happy with that. See, actually, Michael Bush gone to Chicago. It's a pretty good backup from Matt Forte.
I probably forgot that.
That's interesting. But where does this leave Matt Forte and his deal?
Well, I guess the thing is, what they can maybe they're hoping is that Bush will give them enough that they won't have to rely on using Matt Forte all game like they did last year. Well, for such large amounts of the game, so maybe, you know, his numbers won't be so much. They won't have to give him so much when it comes time to pay him.
Yeah,
maybe. And you know, you do need a good backup. Marion Barber retired once it happened. Once Bush got signed.
Well, yeah, you've got them two in front of you. You can't. You've got real. No,
you can ask for your release. Try and go somewhere else. It says to me, well, just, you know, his heart is clearly not in it. He just doesn't care much. He's not that old. I mean. I think he's 29, he might be 30, but
no, he might sit a year out, come back afterwards like most of them are doing nowadays.
Yeah, I suppose it's become oddly common. Yeah, I mean, the safety market has been really quiet. There weren't that many good safeties in the first place. I suppose the Jets have revamped their safety though, that safety position, because they got Laron Landry.
Yeah.
Who else have they bought in? I'm sure there was someone else. They bought in the fella from the Browns, I believe it was, whose name eludes me. Wait, quite a good player when he's healthy. I'll remember his name for next week.
You play for the Browns. I don't think anyone.
Hey,
really
the Browns had a good D last year. That D was solid. It was just the offense was epic bad, and it's hard to achieve an offense that depressing. Yeah, they found a way, but man, it's rough in Cleveland. Those skill positions or lack of skill positions.
You seem to mention every week about how bad Cleveland are.
No, I talk about how bad their offense is because they've done nothing to fix it yet. I mean, I think there's a difference. Like Miami fans go into every off season with some degree of hope that the franchise is trying, whereas Cleveland fans just given up. I mean, I've seen a lot of them, I mentioned last week, going nuts about the RG3 thing. And now Holmgren's come out saying that they offered a similar sort of deal to what the Redskins did, and they feel that the Redskins got the trade because of Fisher has a good relationship with Shanahan and Bruce Allen, which may well be the case, but, you know, if so, what can you do? And they probably didn't, because ultimately if they offered them the same thing, they were getting the 4 pick, not the 6 pick. And if they're going to, you know, take the pick difference of 2 just because of friendship, then that's bad front office work, in my opinion. That's just not very professional. Because, you know, I'm assuming you look at the Rams, who they're targeting.
Yeah.
You'd think Blackmon.
Claiborne.
They'll consider Claiborne if he gets there, but I really still think Claiborne is going to be considered by Cleveland, possibly taken, because it's a Holmgren sort of pick to me. And the Bucks are absolutely going to consider him. I still think he's the pick over Trent Richardson, or the favourite is definitely between those two in my mind. So I think those are the two that they're looking at, and if they have the pick at 4, they know they're getting them, because the first 3 picks are set in stone almost right now. I have no doubt in my mind Khalil is going number 3 to Minnesota, and they're very happy about that. So yeah, I doubt that's the case, that Cleveland offered that much, especially when you hear all the stuff about how they really didn't want to give up that 22nd pick. So I would be very surprised if that was the case. Ooh, up 3, I suppose Spike Lofton, other linebackers haven't really been all that many.
No.
There was another trade of some description that happened, but I don't remember the details of it. Winston Justice is gone, which is a shame. The Giants D-line will be sad to see him gone from the Eagles. They had some great times with Winston Justice there.
Mm.
Great times. I think Tuck is still in the record book. It was either Tuck or OC were in the record books thanks to him. So they're going to be very disappointed, I suppose, now yeah, we're done with free agency.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out just following it all, to be honest. It's got to a stage now where I'm looking down the names and it's just they're not sinking in anymore.
Pretty much.
Nah,
it's like going into a supermarket late after a day of sales and all you're finding really is crap. So it's
there's decent players. I mean, these are the pickups I think that can end up helping the team more just because the value is there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you get that guy and turns out he's a really good fit for the system, or you just need a scenery change. But so you never know. So we'll move on to our divisional breakdown this week. We'll shoot with
NFC West.
Yeah, it was the AFC North last week, so we'll go with the NFC West or NFC Worst, as Mike Carlson has regularly called it, and I stand by that.
I still do, yeah.
It is still... the Niners finally gave that division something to be proud of after a good few years of just churning out just horrible teams where you really felt any other contender from the NFC would win that division. The Niners, we'll start with them. Pretty good shape, I feel.
Oh, the D look just great.
The D... Still will be. I can't think. I mean, have they lost anyone? They franchised Deshaun Goldson. They re-signed Carlos Rogers, who was superb for them last year. I think they may have bought in another corner. And if they have, no, I'm sure they'll still be fine. Yeah, because they lost Shontae Spencer, I think. They've still got the linebackers coming back. Alden Smith had a fantastic rookie year. As a pass rusher, he was monstrous. And, you know, 14 sacks in a bit part role. He's going to be starting this year. No reason to think he's going to get any worse. It might be a bit of a sophomore slump, but, you know, as worst case scenario, the D-line was fantastic last year. Justin Smith's still a beast. Isaac Sopawaga, great name. Pretty good nose tackle.
Yep.
And Ray McDonald was a pleasant surprise for him. They got a great pair of inside backers. Patrick Willis can do it all, like, to such a high standard, it's ridiculous.
Yep. Ray Lewis Mark II.
He is, just without quite the vocal histrionics of Ray.
No one will have the vocal history of Ray.
No. The league will be emptier when he is gone. Much, much emptier.
Yeah, of course. No, everything seemed to fall in place for San Francisco.
Yeah, Navarro Bowman and him were a hell of a tandem. I mean, they were so good. Both very good in pass coverage as well, which is essential these days. They were one of the few teams that had good safety play, watching safeties that can tackle. I mean, think back to that awesome hit that knocked out Pierre Thomas. See, Saints, that's how you do it legally. He wasn't paid to do that. He just made a damn good hit. So yeah, they tackled so well last year.
That
was the real thing, the fundamentals. I mean, it's easier to learn when you've got Patrick Willis, who is one of the best form tacklers I've ever seen. His technique is just spot on. There's always one play I look back to in college where it was a goal line play when he was at Ole Miss, and I don't remember the down distance, but I know it was inches. And you know, it's a big back, gets his couple of yards through out. You know, Willis doesn't have a full sprint and hit him through a hole. No, he steps into the hole, gets like 1 yard, you know, just to get a little bit of momentum, but just stonewalls the guy, just lifts him and just goes back. And you're like, that is literally perfect form tackling. And you see it from him with real consistency. Similar with like Ray. You know, say, oh, Ray doesn't appear to be as big a hitter as people think he is because he actually wraps up. You know, the spectacular hits are usually the ones where they just, like, you know, shoulder him or
fly into him.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all about wrapping up, and those guys do it as well as anyone. Alden Smith's going to give him a heck of a pass rush. Ahmad Brooks, they've re-signed. He played quite well in spurts last year. Didn't get the sack numbers, but did a good job getting pressure. So, defensively, I mean, there's no reason to think they won't be as good as they were last year.
No, of course not. There.
No reason at all.
So Jim Harbaugh, rookie, his first year as an NFL coach, came in, gave Alex Smith a playbook he can work with, and he had a really good year.
Well, Harbaugh just showed, like, it was like that year when the Buccaneers went 10-6. It showed if you have a quarterback that makes good decisions and doesn't throw picks, you're going to win games. He threw 6 picks last year, I think it was, for Alex Smith.
It was one of the lowest amount of picks in the league. If not the lowest.
And he didn't throw many touchdowns, conversely. I mean, David Akers was kicking field goals left, right and centre for him. I mean, he broke Jerry Rice's record that they never thought would be broken for points in a total season. So that alone says everything about it. But I mean, this is why I thought Peyton should have went there, because with the additions they met, Crabtree is incredibly temperamental as a receiver. A bit diva-ish. I think he needs to, you know, work on wanting to be a better player more. I'm not sure it's quite there. I think he's happy with sort of where he is as a player. Vernon Davis had a really good year. His head seems screwed on straight. Then you've got... they lost Josh Morgan. And I know they wanted to bring him back, but what can you do? But, you know, with Randy Moss and Mario Manningham there, it should have a fairly decent... You know, there should be no excuse for Alex Smith.
I mean, he's got a really good receiving core.
Even if Randy
one of
Moss,
the best tight ends in the league as well. A good running game.
Even if Randy Moss goes loopy, which is always a possibility, you can never rule that one out.
I
understand, because they're giving him so little, they can just cut him if he's any hassle. But they should be a good team, so Randy Moss is happy when he's on a good team. He's fine. If they're winning, there's no problems, and apparently he's a great teammate, so they should be okay.
He's in a bad league. He's not getting paid particularly well. Hopefully it would give him a bit of motivation to play better. Hopefully.
Yeah, you'd hope so. The O-line's pretty solid. They did a great thing. Lost Adam Snyder, probably the worst starter on their O-line, and he went to Arizona. So they've got to be totally happy with how that went. They've got Frank Gore. It's really hard to look at a hole in the Niners. I mean, they could do with better quarterback play, but you kind of think maybe Alex Smith will play better, you know, with a year in the system, getting to know the players a bit more around him. And
the thing is, he's been with the whole Peyton Manning thing now, maybe his confidence is a little bit knocked. They've paid him more.
Yeah,
maybe
you hope he comes out like a chip on his shoulder, like Drew Brees did to show Miami that this is what you could have had. Sorry to do that to you, man.
But yeah, damn, lame man. You trolled me bad there.
I didn't. No, it had to be said.
No, that's
I wasn't
that's
trolling.
Fair.
It was a valid point.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I put a stake through the heart of every Dolphins fan bringing that situation up. But, I see no reason why they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender, personally, unless the offense just tanks, which is always a possibility. But, I mean, Alex Smith has an actual bit. He was drafted first overall way back when, so you know he can sling it.
Yeah.
And he can scramble a little. I think they're going to be very good. I think they could do with a running back, though, because relying on Frank Gore all day, every day, for a whole season probably isn't quite the way to go. Because he's had his health issues in the past. Superb player, but I don't like... As a fan, I would not be confident with having one good running back. And I know what that's like as a Bucks fan. I don't remember us ever having it. Well, we haven't had a good tandem since the glory days of like Warwick Dunn and Mike Allstott. That was some time ago right now. A very long time ago. Ugh, damn, I'm old. But so we'll move on to Seattle, another team that tried to get involved in the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. I'm guessing he wasn't interested. Maybe he doesn't like the rain.
No, so they went for the second best quarterback in free agency.
Well,
which
you say that, well, that's got to be said with air quotes.
I was trying to think. What to do? I was actually doing that with my fingers, but then I remembered people can't see.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a face palm moment.
But no, what do you make of Matt Flynn coming to challenge Tavares Jackson?
They had to do something.
Yeah,
because
you've got Poop Salad as a quarterback.
That's not our nickname. We stole that one off waterfootball.com. It's a quite funny site.
That's the best nickname I've heard.
It is very appropriate for him because he is a poop salad. You don't. My logic is, because it's never really been explained on there, but I figure, you know, a salad has lots of different things in it. Now, in the case of Tavares Jackson, there are a lot of different things that can happen when he plays. He's got a big arm, he can scramble, but ultimately, when it all comes down to it, you'll get a different, you know, thing every time you dip into the poop salad as your quarterback. It's always going to be a bit of poop.
Yeah.
It might be different poop than it was last week, but it's still going to be poop.
Especially if they wear the Illuminous green.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. That's like the one jersey, right, that I feel comfortable criticising. Because, you know, with the Bucks throwbacks, I feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because as much love as I have for them, they are ugly. But those Luminous green things should be burnt.
Yeah.
Or just sent off into some deep part of space and forgotten. Like, I don't ever want to have to look at those again.
Right, we talk more about Seahawks as a team rather than their uniforms.
All right, we'll get to the team. Yeah, I mean, Flint, they needed to bring someone in. He fits the kind of scheme they're going to run. I mean, they've got some decent receivers there in Seattle. I think this is what people forget. I mean, Sidney Rice was injured last year, didn't do much, but it's hard to know whether it's, you know, him tanking because he's got his paycheck, or if it's just, you know, the Seahawks passing game is not very good. But they had a really good draft last year. They had some guys just step in and play really well over the course of the year. They had Cam Chancellor, who is a massive, massive safety. I mean, we're talking about a dude who looks like a linebacker. Safety, I can't remember the name of the rookie corner, but he really impressed me. They had Doug Baldwin, did some things at receiver. So with him, Sidney Rice, and the other Mike Williams that was drafted all high all way back when by the Lions, one of the many draft busts before they found Megatron. He played quite well the year before last year. Last year struggled with injury and again the inconsistent passing game they have there. But as a set of receivers, they're not too bad.
No, not at all. They've also got the Skittles monster as well.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch
is one of those players, like, when he's playing really well, he's one of the better running backs in the league. I feel confident saying that. He's a decent receiver, really powerful runner, finishes plays, and he's got enough, you know, to break off the big one. It's just, he's sort of been through phases in his career where it looks like he can't be bothered, but seems he's fairly motivated now, and this Skittles thing seems to have given him a new lease of life, oddly enough. But I mean, the O-line's quite good there as well. They've got some young guys on there. They just need Russell Okung to stay healthy.
Yeah, but first rounder like from 2-3 years ago. A couple of years ago.
He's played well when he's been healthy. He's looked good. But I like the O-line there. As an offense, I just think if they can fix quarterback, they could actually compete, because the D is solid as well. Not great in pass rush terms, but they've got some pretty good corners and a decent enough secondary, which in today's NFL is massively important, in that a lot of the secondaries at the moment are really poor. I thought last year's secondary play was generally horrible, and with teams, you know, slinging it all over the show, you must feel a lot better if you're one of the teams that has them. They've got a half decent set of backers. Don't know if David Hawthorne's re-signed with them though. But even if he hasn't, they got some good players there. And then on the D-line, you know, Brandon Meebane, one of the better players that no one really knows about. Red Bryant, they re-signed. Doesn't really offer you much as a pass rusher, but man, he's good against the run. He is one of those, my favourite type of players, the giant nose tackles that just, you know, you don't move them. That's their job. They do it very well. They need defensive ends. But if they can get that, they're one of them teams that they've done actually a very good job. I was massively sceptical of the Pete Carroll signing when they appointed him as coach, but I really feel they've, from a personnel perspective, they've done a really, really good job, because they cut a ton of players. They made something like 100 signings in the first year. It might even have been more than that, like 100 different roster moves in the first year of that that regime. And
Christ,
they're a lot better off for it.
They look like a fairly comfortable franchise. The players seem quite happy to play for Carroll.
Well,
so
at the minute, I think they're a decent team. They just the problem is the positions that they don't have are the more important positions in the league. If you don't have a quarterback and you don't have particularly good pass rushers, man, it's tough these days. It's just difficult. So if they can do it right, I mean, Matt Flynn, I'm not going to, you know, make up like I know how he's going to do, like, which seems to be the most popular thing on ESPN and Fox, is like people may, it's in two games, he was alright in college, hence why he was drafted where he was.
Yep.
We'll see. I mean, no one really knows what they're going to get from him, hence why there wasn't much interest. You know, NFL front offices are smarter than that. That's why he didn't get the big deal. Did you hear the sort of numbers people were talking about before he got signed, like what they thought he was going to get before free agency? Teams were talking like he was going to be paid like one of the better starters in the league.
the guy played two games with a Green Bay offense with Green Bay receivers. You can't give a guy that sort of money based off those two games.
Yeah, well,
if anyone would have done it, it'd have been the Dolphins. But obviously, Joe Philbin must have said something like, "Don't pay the guy this money."
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for a segue right here. I mean, look at Kevin Cobb in Arizona. They gave him a load of money, unproven, the exact, very, very similar situation, gave up a lot to get him, gave him a massive new contract, and thus far, all right, unlucky in terms of injury, but it's not worked out, and they still don't know what they really have with Kevin Cobb. I mean, he's competing with Scattershot Skelton, as Carlson calls him.
I still think he'll start based off how much they're paying him. I think he'll start.
He has to. They've given him that roster bonus now.
Yeah. But he's another one that needs to come out with a chip on his shoulder after.
Oh yeah.
Arizona being in the
city. He should have had that like straight away last year anyway.
Oh, what with Philly and Vic?
Yeah, just the way that all went. You couldn't really blame Philly for it. They did want him to be the starter. Vic came in and they got good Vic, because let's face it, it's good Vic, bad Vic, and it was good Vic for about 10 weeks. So. They had no choice. So we'll move on to Zona. Seattle, one to look out for the future, I suppose. In the same way as the Bengals, I guess. But I'm still not all that confident in Pete Carroll as a head coach in the NFL. I don't know why. It might just be the college background thing. Always scares me a little. I kind of just remember him with the Patriots.
No, let's see what he can do this year with his new quarterback. See what he can do with him.
This is the move that will probably determine if he keeps that job for the future. Frankly, you know how it is these days. If a guy brings in their quarterback and it fails, that usually means they lose their job.
Am I right? Has he gone now with three different quarterbacks in 3 years? You had Hasselbeck, now Tavarius Jackson.
Yeah, Hasselbeck
his
first year. Then it was the Whitehurst, Tavarius Jackson, malarkey, and now it's Matt Flynn.
Yeah, now it'd be Matt Flynn, yeah. Not interesting, new quarterback every year.
Well, to be fair, it's never really been solved. Although they would have been, I figure they could have been quite good with Hasselbeck last year. At least they certainly would have been better than they were.
With the Titans, yeah.
Hasselbeck played, you know, to his normal kind of standard. So yeah, that's an interesting one. But I mean, we'll move on to Zona.
Yeah,
they're an interesting one.
Great at the end of the year.
Oh yeah, they were playing fantastic. They were playing as well as any D in the league. It's odd how the NFC West may actually have turned into a really good defensive division.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. But I mean, they kept Calais Campbell. Apparently he wants a new deal and is happy there in Zona. They've got good D line. Dockett is slightly overrated, but he's a good player.
Yeah.
Dan Williams is just huge. And Calais Campbell is just a beast. I mean, he is a monster. If you look at numbers last year, we're talking a 3-4 end. I think he defended 6 passes. He may have had a pick, blocked 3 kicks on special teams, and had 8 sacks.
That's that you shouldn't be
at the age 25. He's like 6'8".
Playing 3-4, you shouldn't. You're not even really passing. You're not really doing pass rush from that sort
but
of
he can,
really,
which is what I mean by he's one of those guys who can play the position to its normal level, and then he's got that little bit something that makes him special that you cannot find, and that is his ability to rush the passer from that position. It's just rare. He's going to get crazy money, and he deserves it. I mean, they got Darryl Washington at backer. He's showed a lot of potential last year. I mean, he may be one of the fastest backers in the league, and he's a solid tackler, but he's one of these guys he over-pursues. I'm not sure he gets his angles right all the time, sometimes guesses. But if he gets it, he's going to be a really good one. They need pass rush from outside backers, really, because, you know, they're trying to do what Pittsburgh do. And they kind of got that in the middle with Bradley and Washington. They've got a pair of fairly versatile guys there that can do a bit of coverage. Washington can blitz just because of his speed. They can both fall right against the run. But they're hoping Sam Acho develops, and they need to find someone else from somewhere, because there's really nothing there. I mean, is Joey Porter still... Is he retired now?
No, he's been listed as a free agent.
He's now a free agent, okay. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't getting it done, and they had no one else. Safeties, Adrian Wilson, who I always thought was a better linebacker than a safety, actually played well as a safety last year. Yeah.
So I didn't know he played a linebacker. I thought
he doesn't. It's just he plays more like a linebacker.
Oh.
He wasn't very good at coverage. He was very good at tackling and blitzing and, you know, being a linebacker. But last year, he finally seemed to get it a bit more in coverage, and they used him a bit they use him kind of like a Palmer. He does a lot of, you know, blitzing, playing from weird positions, that kind of thing. And
yeah, fair enough.
He made it work. Kerry Rhodes will be healthy. They've lost Richard Marshall, who played really well last year. I was shocked they didn't make a push to get him.
Yeah, someone that the Finns picked up.
Yeah, it's a good signing because he was good last year.
No, it's good.
He was always solid in Carolina as well. I mean, considering the lack of corners in the market that have proven, I'm surprised he didn't get more interest.
That was a Jeff Ireland's poker face moment, I guess. Guy can play. He can play multiple positions as well in the secondary
well,
cornerback.
Jeff Ireland may get a lot of stick, but there's one thing he doesn't do, and you have to give him credit. He very rarely overpays players.
That and he doesn't
is
buckle
very
to fan.
Frugal.
Yeah, that and he doesn't buckle to fan pressure. I mean, if it was up to Miami Dolphins fans,
then
we'd have Kyle Orton as our starting quarterback.
The way things are going, I think he prefers having the fan pressure. Although, like, it's got to a stage now in Miami, you know, the second someone's name is mentioned, the fans are all over it just because they want stuff.
Yeah.
They just want
No, you're actually bang on the money there with that one. But, no, back to the Cardinals, drifting off.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they could be real good. Patrick Peterson struggled early as a corner, but you can see his natural ability. Freak as a punt returner, and he was starting to play really well toward the end of the year. He had a very good game against the Cowboys when he was mic'd up on Dez Bryant, and if he gets it, you know, they'll have a lockdown corner. I'm not sure about Greg Toler on the other side, but you know, and at least they have one corner. That's more than some teams. And you know, I'm guessing they're probably going to go with Kerry Rhodes again, who really has not played particularly well for the last few years after it looked like he was one of the better young players in the league with the Jets. Fell out with Rex, but if he can get back to it, they could have I think it's going to be a good D next year there, just because of, I believe in that D line, and I believe if they can get an outside backer, they're going to be really good. And a lot of teams struggle with that fire zone scheme that Pittsburgh runs, and they're doing a fairly good job using it there in zona. So I mean, all the questions are on the offense, where I don't know what the hell they're trying to do on the O-line. It's like they don't like Kevin Cobb playing. It seems that Ken Whisenhunt has a plan to get Cobb injured again so he can play Skelton. No questions asked. That's the only thing I can think of, because why you sign Adam Snyder, who was the weak link of the night? I mean, I get it from one perspective. He can play all the positions on the O-line, which is useful, but I wouldn't want him starting in any of them. So yeah, and they re-signed Levi Brown, which have I not criticised Levi Brown enough on this podcast or in the real world for, you know, and everywhere, everyone knows Levi Brown is a liability, but they re-signed him. I'm guessing now they figure if he's here long enough, it'll click eventually. At least he's not on top 5 pick money like he used to be. But I mean, they got Lyle Sendlin, he's an alright centre. But other than that, and who's the guard? They signed one of the guards from the Saints up, the Saints Packers after they won the Super Bowl. Half decent player, Darryl College. He's decent, not great, but decent. They got a decent center. The rest of it is horrible.
Yep.
And they should really, really consider David DeCastro. They need to hope he falls there, because he would be so handy. I don't know how Beanie Wells actually gets yards. I don't know how he manages it.
No,
that O-line is, it's not good in pass protection, and it's even worse in run blocking. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Cobb got
injured. Wells is a better running back than people give credit for.
Well, he runs quite hard, yeah. And he's got a load of talent. If they can get him a good O-line, I think he can be one of the better backs in the league. I mean, they need someone else, because they did kind of miss Hightower, I thought, last year, just because of the versatility he brought them. So they could do with another guy in Beanie's injury history is not good, so you need someone else.
Yeah,
I guess. I suppose we can talk Fitzy for a couple of minutes. Always fun to talk Fitzy.
Yeah, when I was talking Fitzy, yeah, another
another dominant season with very little help from his quarterbacks. Oh, what would have happened if he had Peyton throwing to him? It would have been glorious.
It would have been first down touchdown, first down touchdown, first down touchdown.
Well, he could have broke records. I know that's a bold statement, but I really do feel that Peyton Manning and Fitzy could have broke records and lots of them.
Oh, I think that was Arizona's only real sort of arguing selling point to Peyton Manning. We have Fitzy.
Yeah, we got Fitzy. Here you go. This is like the greatest toy you could ever have.
Yeah, never mind you're behind the Puo line, but you're used to that at the Indianapolis anyway. So
I think the thing, like, when you watch the Cardinals and you watch Fitzgerald, the thing that puts him over the top is how many catches he makes off of passes that he has no right getting because it's a horrible pass. It was like the last game of the season in overtime. It's like a slant route when he was in the slot, and the throw from Skelton was horrible. It was a wide open, easy completion that, yeah, you know, average Joe could hit, and he just puts it right out in front of him, way too far. Fitzy just diving one hand catch, and
how many times
to like land up, like land so that it doesn't touch the ground. It's like the quarterback is feeling good right now, but he shouldn't. You know, I would have been pissed off if I was Scout, and I'd have been like, "What the hell was I doing? That was horrible."
No, it does make Pierre quarterbacks look good.
Yeah,
I think that's where most of Scout's success came from last year. Was it just got to a point where it's just like, "Well, there's nothing there. I'm just going to put it up to fit." And frankly, that's a good decision most of the time. See, I've never seen anyone more dominant on the jump ball, and I don't think I ever will, because he's ridiculous. His body control is nuts. If only he had the speed of Calvin Johnson, he would literally be perfect. But what can you do? I mean, he's a monster.
So you got to give that division secondary some sort of chance against Fitzy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Can you imagine in the same division, you have Fitzy on one team and then Rams pick up Blackman?
Oh, it'd be unfair on the corner on the corners in that league.
Blackman will be good, but he's never gonna. He's there's no way he can hit the Fitzy level, because you can't. You have to be a physical freak, which Blackman is not, to be that good. It's just it's the way it is. You look at the top three guys; they're all freaks.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson, Megatron, Fitzy.
But just out of saying, if Blackman ends up a freak, and say Randy Moss plays to what he used to, the business is quite lucky.
Pretty interesting receivers there. They need to solve that quarterback situation. Cobb is just so hard to judge. He had a couple of really good games in Philly. He's had a couple of really bad games. But then, in a lot of ways, he's not even played a full season. He's not even played 16 games. So,
yeah.
A lot of people obviously throwing him under the bus. But it's like, well, he's not got much experience. So,
yeah.
And Skelton, he wins. I'll give him that. He's got a big arm, he wins, and he's a fairly big guy, but he needs to work on that accuracy before I have any belief in Skelton.
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess it's a to be continued on the quarterback front, Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, they're all right at receiver just because Fitzy opens things up. Todd Heap was an okay pickup. Not got much left in the tank. They could go for a tight end, I suppose. And they could do with another receiver, but early Doucette's okay, although he does make some poor drops.
Yeah.
There was one that cost them a game last year. I don't remember who against. It may have been... No, they always beat the Cowboys. I don't know how.
Yeah.
They always do.
Well, should we move on to the next team? Or?
Yay, the Rams.
What do you have to say about that?
Team England are going to get to know very well over the next 3 years.
Yeah, and they should be a lot better by the end of it. If they can't make this team real, real good, because I still believe in Sam Bradford.
I believe in Sam Bradford. And I believe in Jeff Fisher's
the amount
coach's
of
ways.
Picks they have in the next few years, there is no excuse for that team to not become a real contender. I mean, there's really not. And they've got some good players at some of the key positions, because now they've got Finnegan, they've got a decent corner, they've got Chris Long, who's very, very good pass rusher, Robert Quinn, who they got last year, still not there, but if he develops, you know, they'll have a mean pass rush, decent, you know, one corner. You need at least one corner. They've got the quarterback. They've still got Steven Jackson for a couple more years. I don't know how much longer he can keep it up, because they run him into the ground every year, but he just keeps on doing it. And Roger Saffold's an okay tackle. I mean, he struggled last year after a fantastic rookie season. Not as much as I think people are saying. I still wouldn't feel too... I'd feel okay with him being on the left side still. I think they've got to consider cutting Jason Smith, because he's just been a bust and he's on massive money, which will happen when you pick a tackle number two overall.
Yeah.
But the holes they have are just huge.
Yeah.
They are gaping holes. I mean, a receiver.
Give them three,
years. What do they have at receiver right now? Like, can you guys reel off names? I mean, they got...
No, they lost Lloyd, really, didn't they?
So yeah, they lost Brandon Lloyd. So they've got Greg Salas. There's that white fella.
He's white.
White slot type guy, quite useful, decent enough. I can't believe I totally forgot his name because I was specifically thinking about it earlier. Danny Amendola. There we go. Now I got there. He's a decent slot receiver. Then Salas is a similar sort of player, and they got very little else. They did pick up a tight end early last year's draft, I think in the second round. Was it Lance Kendricks? No, it wasn't. I remember he started to see a bit more of the field at the end of the year. Obviously, I'll be hoping he develops. But they need
a lot
along the interior because they've got.
Jack and Joe Fisher will get them there.
I mean, they got Scott Wells. That's some help for the O line, but they could do with some guards. And they need a receiver. So you got to expect they're probably hoping Blackman falls to them. They need something. And then, you know what? I suppose they'll do for the offense. I mean, the offense, I don't see it being much better next year, to be honest.
Yeah. DSE being a bit better. Because they've made
a lot of pickups on D.
Yeah.
They got Jason Jones at the end, didn't they?
Great thing about, yeah.
Yeah, one
great
year
thing
deal,
about, so. Yeah, Jason Jones. No, Jason Jones, I think about the Seahawks.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, and we'll talk about that quickly. That's a great pickup for them.
Yeah, it is.
They needed a pass rushing tackle. That means they can just take Red Bryant out on passes.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good pickup.
Yeah. Pretty sure he did.
I should have paid attention because I was definitely paying attention.
Yeah. Well, obviously Finnegan, them picking him up. Obviously, it will be easier for them to carry on with him because obviously Jeff Fisher and Finnegan obviously know.
Yeah. Well, defensively they need tons of help. I mean, they've got Laurinaitis is a decent middle backer. Chris Long's decent. You can hope Robert Quinn develops.
Yeah.
They've got some guys at defensive tackle. They've got Kendall Langford off of your lot. He's a decent player. Not quite sure how he'll fit into a 4-3, but I think he's a decent enough player that he'll contribute.
He's good defending the run. He's not much in the pass rush, but
he'll get more opportunity in the 4-3 to pass rush, though, so you never know.
No, I think he's a solid pickup for him. Good team player, nice guy. He's popular with the Dolphins fans.
The secondary is just atrocious. Yeah. I mean, they paid a lot for Finnegan, but they had to. Let me think. What else are we thinking? They played something like 13, 14, 15 corners, something ridiculous like that last season. So, yeah. you know things are bad. Then they've got the safety off of the Eagles from. He was a very good player for a couple of years. Struggled last year, and his name eludes me as well. I'm just not good with names today. Not on it. He struggled. Our outside backers are not good.
No.
So yeah, they need quite a lot defensively. I mean, they could.
They're better off than they were, but.
They're better off than they were. I mean, alright, defensive end is probably the one position they can feel okay about. But other than that, it's bad. It's not good there, so. We'll see what happens, but.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still going to be in the basement, I think, for a couple of years. They're still some way off.
Yeah,
and definitely. You've got to figure while the Niners are good. They're just not going to be able to compete with them. So, we'll see how that goes.
God, it's such a depressing division to talk about.
It is.
Less, I mean, at least, you know, there's the positives with Seattle and Zona, I think, going forward. I still think, you know, Zona may have a dodgy owner, but I think Wisenhunt has done a very good job there. And I think that D will continue to get better.
Mm.
Until they find... It's just one of those things. If you don't have a quarterback, life is depressing in the NFL.
Oh, don't
in some regard.
Don't
honor. Hey, man, you don't need to tell me.
Yeah, you found your guy. Well, you think you found your
hopefully,
guy.
Hopefully.
You have.
Hopefully. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that'll do for the NFC West. I mean, is there any need for us to do a prediction for the NFC West this year? I will speak for all of us.
Same.
We think the Niners are going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Niners are going to win it.
We don't think the other teams
the
are going to make the playoffs,
second.
But the Crads and Seahawks will make a push for a wild card, but they're
Crads
not going to make it.
Yeah.
Unless they do a good job beating up on the other teams in the division.
Yeah, that's all they can
offer. So, I expect improvement in that division next year. I suppose the amount of high draft picks they've all had in the last few years, they damn well better be getting better.
Yeah, that could end up going from AFC the NFC West to just the NFC West.
Yeah. Alright, so I think that'll wrap it up for this week.
Yeah,
good stuff. Alright, so thanks very much for listening as always, guys. As always, feel free to get in touch with us. We're going to make an active effort to be more active on the NFL UK forums in particular. I've had uni work recently. Not that, yeah, that is an excuse. It is an excuse and a reason. Yeah. So yeah, we'll try and get a bit more conversation with people going. There'll be an X's and O's next week. I just haven't had time to do it justice. And yeah, so thanks very much for listening as always, and check us out again next week.
See you later, guys.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks a lot.